Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, a program which, among other things, serves as a religious forum where all questions are welcome. You are welcome. Your questions are welcome. Questions like the following, and I get this a lot. Bob, baptism seems to be an issue which divides Christians and creates different denominations. Is this because the scripture is unclear about the meaning of baptism? Now, I should say this is a question about the ritual of water baptism. The Bible also talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I will mention that a little bit over the next couple of days, but I did a whole show on the baptism of the Holy Spirit already. That's where the detail is. Right now we're talking about a ritual called water baptism. Even those who are completely unfamiliar with the church, didn't grow up in the church, know nothing about Christianity, there probably is not a person in this country that has not heard of water baptism. A lot of confusion about what it means, however, but is the confusion the problem with Scripture? No, my friend, the Scripture is clear. People tend to create problems, and the Bible's no exception as to the many things people create problems with. The Bible can be read. The Bible can be read in context. When we do, it is clear. At the same time, it is important as Christians to distinguish between what is clear and what is of paramount importance. Baptism is an odd issue which falls somewhere in between. What I mean is that a person's motive for refusing to be baptized may be more crucial than the practice itself. Take, for instance, a dedicated Christian who grew up in a tradition which baptizes infants. Although I do not agree with this practice, and I'll talk about it in a moment, I don't agree with that practice and would subsequently encourage conscious believers' baptism, I am aware that one does not shake off tradition and upbringing that easily. When someone says, "You're showing me something in the Bible I've never seen before, it's new to me, I must take some time to think about this, I must study the issue," I don't read that as rebellion, but rather sincere inquiry. On the other hand, one may say, "Yeah, I see clearly that the Bible is commanding me to be baptized, but Aunt Flossie would be upset if I did." Now we have a problem. Baptism, in this case, is spotlighting the fact that some are more interested in pleasing people than pleasing God. And so, yes, it is clear in Scripture, no, it should not be a divisive issue. As for importance, importance comes into play when a person does understand the command and is deciding whether or not to obey or disobey. All right, well then, Bob, what does the Bible clearly state as the meaning and purpose of baptism? Before I get into that, before I answer that question, I want to review in the tradition of this program what baptism is not. Today we'll talk about what baptism is not. Tomorrow we'll talk about what baptism actually is. I give you now, in full Technicolor, well, it would be in Technicolor if this was being filmed, I give you now, in the audio version of full Technicolor, whatever that means, and it means nothing, okay, mistaken ideas about baptism. Let me list them quickly so you see where I'm headed, then I will go back and supply better detail. Mistaken ideas about baptism. First of all, it is a mistake to equate baptism with conversion, salvation, becoming a Christian. And many churches teach this. It is not true that until one is baptized, one is not saved. That doctrine is commonly called baptismal regeneration. Yes, it's common. No, it is not biblical. The second mistake about baptism is that it's the first of several saving sacraments. Here we get into the theology and practices of the Catholic Church. I mean no disrespect to Catholics. Protestants have their problems too. Catholics believe the same things. We need to pray to receive Christ. Salvation is through faith, not by works. At least any Catholic that understands their faith believes that. A lot of times people grow up in churches, they don't even know what their own churches believe. But if you look at the actual theologies, talk to a Catholic that understands his or her faith, they will say, yes, we're saved because of Christ's death on the cross. I'm not working my way to heaven. However, Whereas Protestants would say, I have prayed to receive Christ, and that's how I've latched on to the work of the cross. Catholics would say there are seven ways of latching on to the cross and its redemption. They are called sacraments. Getting into all of those sacraments would be a subject for another program, but the first of the several saving sacraments is infant baptism, where it is taught that the child is now saved from the penalty of original sin. Later on, there's another sacrament called confirmation when the child is older, maybe a preteen, maybe a little younger than that, maybe older than a preteen. And at that time, they go through what is called confirmation, and they publicly declare that they give their assent to an infant baptism that obviously, as an infant, they had no choice in making. Now, these days, the Catholic Church is not the only church that baptizes infants, and that leads to the next mistaken idea about baptism, that it's the sign of a covenant. These people would not claim that the child is being freed from the penalty of original sin. The baptism, the sprinkling of the infant, is more for the parents. It's a way in which they are promising, making a public declaration to raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And later on, they too would have a confirmation where that child, when they're older, would say, I now give my assent to my baptism. So those are the first three mistaken ideas about baptism, that it's equated with conversion, that it's the first of several saving sacraments, or that it's the sign of a covenant. Now, for those who might want to go too far the other way and say, okay, I don't believe that, it's nonsense. Well, baptism is still important, and the next mistaken idea about baptism is that it is a meaningless ritual. No, it is not a meaningless ritual. It is commanded in Scripture. Whatever it is, we've got to pay attention to it. So if people have misunderstood it or misused it, we need to find its true meaning. And finally, the fifth mistaken idea about baptism, and this is common. It's an option, and it's a blessing, but it's not all that important. Those are the five mistaken ideas about baptism. Now let's go back and supply a little bit of detail. Some churches teach that if we aren't baptized, we aren't saved. Is this true? My friends, water baptism does not save. This is the clear teaching of 1 Peter chapter 3 and the words of Josephus. Now, Josephus is a historian of ancient times. He's not inspired scripture, so I'm not quoting Josephus the way I would quote the Bible. But sometimes the Bible talks about practices and rituals, and we don't understand why they're doing it, and we need the help of ancient historians to explain the culture. There'll be more on Josephus tomorrow. The Bible does tell us that there are certain signs that we are saved, because if the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, we will be obedient to God, and baptism is the first thing that God asks people to do. That's the relationship between baptism and conversion, but the conversion is separate from baptism. Think of it as the relationship between a wedding vow and a wedding ring. Somebody might say, hey, it's the vow before God and before people that's important. It's the document and the marriage license which says we're legally married. I don't need to go around wearing a wedding ring to prove that I made a commitment to my wife. No, you don't necessarily. But on the other hand, if somebody's going into a singles bar and he doesn't have his wedding ring on, the value and importance and sincerity of his commitment and vow might just become a little bit questionable. We would at least have the right to ask the question. That is the relationship between baptism and conversion. Getting back now to the practice of sprinkling infants, that began when the early church developed a fear, perhaps understandable fear, at least in their minds, that infants might go to hell if they died. Now you got to remember, they're already thinking baptismal regeneration, which is a mistake. They're saying you're not saved until you're baptized. Well, how does an infant decide to get baptized? An infant can't make the decision to follow Christ and then get baptized. And people were afraid that these infants, if they passed away due to sickness or war or natural catastrophes of some other sort, they really thought they might go to hell. Since it was dangerous to submerge an infant in water, the sprinkling tradition came about. Now, we can appreciate this concern for the salvation of infants, but such a discussion forces us to ask if we believe in a loving God who would send an infant to hell. Aside from this being a difficult thing to even imagine, even conceive. The Bible tells us that the only ones going to hell are people who make a conscious decision to reject Christ. Matthew chapter 12 would be a great verse to study that. A baby is incapable of making the decision to reject Christ and would therefore be automatically covered by the redemptive blood of Christ. Now, as I mentioned before, there's another theology, covenant theology, and these people aren't claiming that baptism removes the penalty of original sin from the baby, but there was still some concern about what might happen to that baby if the baby died, and covenant theology was teaching that the baptism of infants put kind of a protective umbrella over the child for those in-between years where the parents are raising the child as a Christian, and then at a certain point, again, they'd have their confirmation, and they would give their verbal assent and their conscious assent, and they would dedicate their lives to Christ and receive Christ all on their own. It still leaves the question, though, what if that protective umbrella had not been put over an infant? I was not born into a Christian family myself. I was born into a Jewish family, and they were atheistic Jews, not even religious Jews, just cultural Jews. Many people today, and it's becoming increasingly more so in America and all over the world, it's been going on for the longest time, not everybody's born into a Christian family. Are those babies going to hell? No. Now, is there anything wrong with parents making this dedication that we're going to raise our child in the Lord? Of course not. I did that with my children. We had a baby dedication, but I was not of the opinion that if we didn't have the baby dedication and something happened to my child, God would send them to hell. And of course, we didn't sprinkle them in the process. I should say that over the years, regardless of how these doctrines originated, there's all kinds of variation today. If you talk to most Catholics, if you talk to most Catholic priests, if you talk to most people in covenant churches, such as Presbyterian, and you ask them if they believe that infants are going to go to hell if they die, they will say no. And when you go to different denominations that baptize infants, such as the Methodists and the Lutherans, I already mentioned the Presbyterians, you're going to see a wide variation of opinion. Even in the Catholic Church, they're now debating a little bit about what would happen to that infant. So what I'm doing right now today, folks, is I'm painting in broad strokes. I'm telling you how these ideas originated. I'm very aware that not everybody that goes to the denominations which birthed these doctrines is going to necessarily believe that babies are going to hell. It's becoming increasingly an idea that people cannot take seriously, which is good. Well, then again, though, moving down the list, baptism is not a meaningless ritual. On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk in detail about the practice of baptism, where it originated, what it means exactly. I hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, this is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.